This podcast is brought to you by Harvest Family Church in Mississauga, Ontario. For more information, please visit harvestfamilychurch.ca. We hope you are encouraged by today's message from Pastor John Spence.
John, I'm the student ministry director here at the church. And once again, I want to thank you for taking time out of your weekend to be here with us. It means a lot. I see some new faces in the crowd. I also see some kids out there. Are you in grades 1 to 5? Grades 1 to 5, are you in the room this morning? Come on. Are you in the room this morning? There you go. Yeah. How about youth? You guys in here? See, grades 1 to 5, that's what's up right there. Okay. You need to scream like that. So let's try it again. Grades 1 to 5, are you in the room? Love it. Love it. Well, hey, it's great to be here. It's been an incredible past few weeks for myself because on April 2nd at 1:59 a.m. in the morning, my wife gave birth to a baby boy named Levi. And I'm a proud father. I'm a proud father every single day. I'm proud of him, and all he does is eat, sleep, and poop, but I'm still proud of him. I'm still proud of him. It's all he does, but I'm proud of him because I love him. And changes your life, changes your heart, changes everything within you. And so honored, and I actually brought a few pictures just in case. So I got a few pictures. There he is. That's right, him right out of the gate. He's an awesome little guy, really alert. There's another one right there, Levi Wilson Spence. He's just chilling. He just took a poop, and he's all relieved. You know, that's the face, like, yeah. And then I got another one. There he is. So that's 4 weeks old right there, and that's his little monkey, his little buddy. And he's a happy baby, except for between the times of 10 p.m. and 3 a.m., other than that, he's a happy baby. He's a happy baby. Thank God for white noise, you know. You can actually YouTube that video. That's what we do every night. We YouTube white noise. He's out like a light. It's amazing. But it's really cool. Also want to give a shout out to the Maple Leafs last night. Yeah. Give a shout out to them. Tied the series up 1-1. I was prepping for my message, but it was a little tough because they're playing so well. And they kept hitting Boston hard, and it was a good time. So, I just want to give a little shout out to them. It's an exciting series. We're a hockey nation, but it's great to be here. So, again, I want to welcome the grades 1 to 5 in here, and all the youth. And aren't the youth doing such a great job this morning? Man, they're doing awesome. Opening doors, doing car park. Actually, let's have the youth stand up right now. If you're in Compass Senior High or Junior High, just stand up real quick. This is the next generation right here. This is them. This is them. Come on, church. This is them. Proud of every single one of them. Grades 1 to 5, why don't you join them? Grades 1 to 5, stand up. Join them. Everybody stand up. There we go. We love young people. Look at all the young people. Look at all the young people. This is great. This is great. All right, you can take a seat. You can take the seat. Grades 1 to 5, I know you enjoyed that a lot more. Teenagers are a little bit more like, oh, awkward. Making us stand up. Why'd you do that? No, it's really good. It's really good to see all the young people. I'm telling you, this church loves young people, loves people. And every single generation, you can see that all the way from the nursery to all the way up to the older generations. And we just love people and we love young people. And I'm so honored to have a pastor that that cherishes that, that invests in that. He invested in me. Amen. All right. If you haven't learned this, I pretty much cry every sermon. Every message. Come on. All right. All right, so here's the deal. I wanted to show you a little bit about kind of what we've been doing. You saw a video at the very beginning of what we've been doing as a student ministry and the different things and the different events, and we have a lot of fun. But there's some serious that goes on in Compass Senior High and Junior High. And we had a United night the other night, and I just want to show you a little clip of our service. And it's a very serious moment. It's just a moment where we kind of had them in service, and it was just, I want to say this is almost like a God moment for them. So just take a quick look at the screens right now. Lives were changed that night. It was amazing. They were just loving it. It's such a serious moment. No, this is good. Here's the deal. Isn't it just fun to have fun in church? You know what I mean? It's good to just have some fun in church. And I know that we do have our serious moments. We have our God moments. And I preach Jesus every single Wednesday and Sunday. But it's always good to just kind of let loose and have some fun. And that night just showed a pure unity between both of our ministries. And we just had such a fun night. And they got to jump on our couches and wear costumes. And it's amazing that you ask the students to dance like just out of the blue, and they won't, but you put a costume on them and they're just like, yeah, you know, they just love it. I'm not sure what's about it, but our generation just loves that kind of stuff. So it's quite amazing. It's quite amazing to see. Before I get started with this morning's message, I just want to open up with a quick word of prayer. So would you join me, please? Bow your heads. Dear Heavenly Father, God, make your word real this morning. Make it true. Make it about you and not about me. Make it your thoughts and your words and your ways in every single way, Lord. I just ask as a church and as a community and as people, we just learn from you and we just learn from your ways and your teachings. God, I pray for this church and I pray for every single person in it. I pray that there is something for everyone this morning, that we can walk away with one point, with one sentence, and God, it comes from you. We surrender this service to you. We surrender our lives to you and just know that you're going to do great things. God, we are thankful for all the people that are visiting with us today. We just ask that they open up their hearts and that they engage with the service, that your face be known to them, that your love and your joy be known to them. And God, that you are preached and you are spoken about in such a loving and caring way, in a way that convicts our hearts but makes us want to do something about it. God, I pray for this young generation. I pray that this morning is dedicated to showcasing young people. Last week was showcasing young people, Lord, and I just ask that you help us in every single way. Do that and lead this next generation to chase after you. In Jesus' name we pray, everybody said, amen. 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 Anybody like any movies in here? Are there movie people? They like to go to the movies? Come on, be honest. All right, awesome. I like movies. I like all kinds of movies, and I like any type of movie. It could be a good comedy. It could be even a good drama. It could be a good sci-fi kind of flick. I like the odd chick flick that I oh so willingly watch, you know. We have to rent it sometimes, but I'll watch it. Some of them I enjoy, some of them I don't, but there's the odd chick flick that I'll watch. And but I like an action movie. Any action movie people in here? Yes. All right. I do this a lot in youth. Call out your best action movie, and I'll try to catch it. 1, 2, 3. What's your favorite action movie? Awesome. That sounds great. That sounds great. No, that's awesome. There's tons of action movies. And here's the thing about action movies is that in every action movie, there's always an amazing chase scene, isn't there? There's a chase scene that they show and that kind of goes throughout all the movies. If you think about like The Italian Job or Gone in 60 Seconds, or if you were to watch any James Bond film is like one long chase scene, right? With some British accents that just make it sound awesome. You know what I mean? It's just one long movie and it's just one long chase scene that kind of happens. And you watch this thing and it kind of puts you on the edge of your seat and it makes it intense. And I know for sure, myself, I love those moments. I sit on the edge of my edge of my seat. I kind of talk with the movie, and I'm just like, go get him, or go after it, or hope you get away, or hope you catch him. You know, I get really into it. I know for sure, my wife gets into it, but she gets more nervous. Anybody get nervous in chase scenes? Yeah. Anybody as like a kid, or even as an adult, you kind of, if you're ever being chased, it kind of makes you cringe, or you scream like, ah! You know, like, you kind of run around the house. Getting chased is not your favorite thing. I know for sure it is for my wife, because whenever I do it or I chase her, she just kind of freezes and she just stops and she doesn't know what to do. Or when we're watching an action movie, she'll literally hold my hand and then it's blue like 10 minutes later because she's holding on so tight. Come on. Come on, wives, you're like that. Or men, I don't know, you just never know. You have that firm grip, and there's just something about that chase scene that just kind of drives you to the edge of your seat. It just drives up kind of your emotions and the things within you. And so I felt that this morning, I felt that the most appropriate title for my message is called The Chase. Everybody say The Chase. The Chase. I've actually had my fair share of chase scenes in my own life. I've had many of them. Some of them good. Some of them, I've been in trouble. You know, daddy's chasing after you or somebody else chasing after you. But I do remember this one time. I was biking home from school, and there was a dog that came out of nowhere. And so we were biking behind Food Port at the time. It was over, I went to Dolphin Senior Public School. And, Dolphin, any Dolphin students out there? Yeah, woo, yeah, all right. Sounds like a great school. Woo. This is also another thing you'll notice. I get sidetracked a little bit, but that's all right. I'm going to bring it back to Jesus. Bring it back to Jesus. All right, so I was getting chased by a dog. And it wasn't just kind of any dog. It was actually a Rottweiler. And this Rottweiler was off its leash. I had no idea where it came from, because all of a sudden I was just kind of riding my bike. I was catching up to the rest of my friends. And all of a sudden I hear this roof, roof, and just the kind of this trampling. And then all of a sudden I see the dog and I start booking it. I just pedal so fast, and I'm pedaling and pedaling, but the dog's pretty quick, and he's actually trying to bite at my ankles, right? He's trying to bite at my ankles, and I'm literally kind of trying to pedal with my left foot and kind of kick the dog and get the dog away with my right foot, because I kind of saw what kind of dog it was. I grew up with dogs. I love dogs, but I did not love this dog, and this dog was just running after me and chasing me, and I can remember just trying to, like, I was almost at a stop, so I had to, like, really pick it up, and I had to really go, and so I'm pedaling and pedaling and pedaling, and finally the dog kind of loses steam. I had no idea where the dog came from, but I just went home, and my adrenaline was pumping, and I was just going. A chase scene like that just kind of gets you going and gets you feeling into a certain spot, into a certain zone, but it just wasn't any kind of dog, and I'm glad that I was okay and I didn't get my ankles bitten off. But the reason why I say that is simply this, is that the chase is a big thing in our world. And the reason why is simply this, is if you're going to walk away with something this morning, it's this, is that we need to encourage the next generation to chase after Jesus. Let me just say that again. We need to encourage the next generation to chase after Jesus. Amen? Can we do that, church? All right. That's my point this morning. Here's the deal, and this is why. Young people are valuable. They have so much potential. And we need to draw that out of them. One thing that I always say to our leaders and to myself as I think about youth ministry and as I think about young people is that we are all about unlocking the potential of these students. When they step foot in this church, when we are out on an outing somewhere at the beach or at Wonderland, I want to, and our leader's goal, is to unlock the potential in these young people, because it's in there. They put up a wall, they put up a front, they might put up an attitude, but it's in there. And it's our job as the older generation to teach them to chase after Jesus, to unlock that potential, to go and strive for it, because I think we can do it. I think we're doing a great job of it, but we need to continue doing it. We can't just do it at certain points of the year and then just not do it. We do a retreat every year, which is amazing, but you know what's more important? It's the Wednesday nights after. It's the every single week. It's the phone calls. It's the Facebook messages. It's the tweets. It's the things that we continue to work on with the next generation. We can have a great weekend. We can have a great service here this morning. But if we don't take tomorrow on Monday morning to encourage the next generation to chase after Jesus, then we just become a Sunday church. We just become Sunday Christians. and Christ followers. But we need to encourage the next generation to chase after Jesus. Young people are valuable. Even the Bible talks about young people. There was actually, if you turn to 2 Kings 22, verse 1. I'm just going to take a quick drink here. 2 Kings, verse 22, verse 1. You can pull it up on your tablet, on your phone. Open up your Bible. If not, we have it up on the screen here. 2 Kings 22, verse 1 to 2. These are some young people. These are just some highlights of some young people. And there's tons of them, but just going to showcase just a few. It says this, Josiah. Not that Josiah over there. Where's Josiah Thomas? Hey, what's up, buddy? Where is he? All right, never mind. Josiah was 8 years old. Okay, grades 1 to 5. Listen to this. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king. And he reigned in Jerusalem 31 years. He did what was pleasing in the Lord's sight and followed the example of his ancestor David. He did not turn away from doing what was right. Anybody have an 8-year-old in here? Okay, just a couple. Imagine if your 8-year-old was king of the GTA. Lord, help us all. Your 8-year-old running the GTA. Let's just close in prayer right now. I don't know what that would be like. Back then, Josiah, man, 8 years old. He ran for many, many, many years. If you were to read 2 Kings, it's an incredible story as you study his life. He was a young man that chased after God, that always did what was right. In the Gospel of John, when Jesus goes, everybody knows the story about the loaves of bread and the fish. Who does Jesus call out? Who does he take the food from? A young boy. You find that in John chapter 6, verse 9. It says, there's a young boy here with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what good is that with this huge crowd? God uses young people. Jesus uses young people. We don't hear his name. We don't know who he is. But I love how they mention that he was young. God uses young people. And it's our job to encourage and lead them to chase after Jesus. Here's just some more. Joshua. You guys remember Joshua? He was like Moses' sidekick. He just always stuck by Moses, and he was his little assistant, and he had tons of fun with him. But he was a young man. He was a young boy, and he just followed along with Moses. Just think about David, King David, with Goliath. Everybody knows this story. David and Goliath. He was a young guy. He was a teenager when this happened. God uses young people. Just think about the disciples. A lot of time we think of the disciples as these older gentlemen, but when they started out, they were just teenagers. They were just in their late teens, just going into their early adulthood. God uses young people, and he can use you today. Wherever you're at, whatever you're doing, whatever job you're in, maybe he's not calling you to the ministry, but God loves you, and he wants to use you, and he wants you to encourage this next generation to chase after Jesus. Let's just talk about, we could talk about Bible all day and different things, but what's happening today? What's happening since then? I was kind of reading up on just some really amazing preachers and teachers and theologians and stuff like that, and there's a gentleman named Jonathan Edwards, and he was this master theologian in the 1700s. And by the age of 13, he had mastered Latin, Greek, and Hebrew. Any 13-year-olds in here? That is hard to master Latin, Greek, and Hebrew. But Jonathan Edwards did it. By the age of 19, made his famous resolution to live and think only what was to the glory of God. Billy Graham, age 19, when he first spoke at a meeting about all that the Lord had done for him. Since that day, he has preached the gospel to over 90 million people in hundreds of countries. He was 19 when he started out. He preached and preached and preached and went for it. Billy Graham was young. Now let's bring it relevant. Right here at Harvest Family Church, we have some students and some young people chasing after Christ. Here's a true story. We went to Laser Quest, which I love because I just spend 2 hours shooting lasers at your students. And so we went to Laser Quest, and I win every time. No, I'm just kidding. No mercy. You know what I mean? So we went to Laser Quest, and On the way there, it's pretty quiet. You see the pockets of friendships, and this is what I love to do. I'm a people watcher. Any people watchers out there? Nice. Airports, Starbucks, church. I know some of you sit in the lobby and you just watch people. And then you go in the car and you'd be like, did you see that person? Come on now, see? You're laughing because you know it. I see it on Twitter. Like, I just know that it's happening. But here's the deal. We were coming back from, or we were going there, and the bus was kind of rowdy, like they're students, so they're kind of singing, but you could tell there was pockets of friends, and they just kind of get in their groups. And then we play some Laser Quest, and we eat some pizza, and we eat some chips, and we sweat, and we shoot some lasers at each other. We get back on the bus, and I'm thinking, oh, they're tired out. But no, they are pumped. All right, their adrenaline is like way up there, and all of a sudden, they start singing songs, and then no word of a lie, they start preaching. They're like, all right, let's just start preaching. And so out of nowhere, I didn't tell them to do this. And literally, we had a couple of our students saying, shouting out their favorite Bible verses. They were preaching the word and telling each other to encourage each other to like keep going on the relationship with God, to set a fire in their soul and that they can't contain, that they can't control. They were doing all kinds of amazing things and doing these beautiful things. And I just sat back and I was just like, I took a big deep breath and I said, this is what it's all about. It's about showing our next generation about how lively you can be for Jesus. For some reason, as we get older, we get shyer and we get more comfortable with our relationship with God, and we don't make it as known because we don't know what people will think, and we think the workplace is not going to like us and we're going to lose friends. And then you look at these young people and they're living their lives for God in such an exuberant way, in such a powerful way. And it makes you realize, and it makes you kind of step back and say, that's it. That's the life God wants me to live. That's the energy that He wants me to have. I understand, as you get older, you get more tired. And there became a point where I couldn't just eat anything I wanted to eat. When I was in high school, boom, McDonald's every day. I can't do that now. Boom. You know? It's like, there's something about getting older. You just lose that energy. You kind of lose that focus. But then you watch this younger next generation, and it just stirs something up in you. And I'm telling you, we have young people within our church that are chasing after Jesus. And you guys need to know that. It's important that you need to know that. Just as you saw, and as Pastor Brent was saying earlier, we had Rebecca over here who was in grade 9. We had Janae in grade 9. We had Ellen who was in the youth ministry. My brother was in the youth ministry when Pastor Brent was the youth pastor. Val, I was his youth pastor for a little bit, and they came on leadership and stuff like that. And then we had Jaden, J-Dog over here, man, just bouncing on the cajon. I'm telling you, this next generation is chasing after Jesus. They're getting involved. They're getting their lives changed, and they're doing something about it. And then they're getting on a stage and helping you lead you in worship. How amazing is that? We need to step back and look at that a little bit and see, okay, what is it? What is it about that? I just love to see this next generation live for God. Volunteers in Kids Life. I know for sure our junior high ministry, we had a conference here in September. And then after that conference, I would say about 80% of our junior high group signed up to volunteer in Kids Life. 80% of them are in there serving your kids, doing something, living out their faith, chasing after Jesus right here at Harvest Family Church. And this is the reason why we had CYM Live, because we wanted to showcase this. We wanted to fill you in on what's actually happening. Because sometimes we don't get to see what goes on upstairs. Sometimes last week, man, didn't you guys love last week? I loved last week. Come on, yeah, let's give it up for Kids Life. I loved last week. I loved seeing all the kids in here, and it was just, there was such an energy, such a love and heart for young people, and I just loved that. But we need to encourage the next generation to chase after Jesus. If you would also turn with me to 1 Timothy 4. 1 Timothy 4, please. We're actually going to take a look in the New Testament about a guy named Paul that raised up the next generation, that took time out of his days and weeks and months to train someone, train a young soul. 1 Timothy 4, 11 to 12, he's writing to Timothy here. While Timothy is in Ephesus, he says this, "Teach these things and insist that everyone learn them. Don't let anyone think less of you because you are," what? young. Be an example to all believers in what you say, in the way that you live, in your love, your faith, and your purity. Young people, I'm just going to call out this scripture's for you. If you're in grades one, if you're in kids' life in here, if you're in junior high, if you're in senior high, if you're a young adult, this scripture speaks straight to our hearts and should pierce it a little bit. Let's do something about this. Let's think Paul's writing this letter to us. Don't let anyone think less of you because you are young. Never. You're not too small. You're not too fat. You're not too ugly. You're not too stupid. You're smart. You're young. You're bold. You're faithful. You're courageous. You're generous. You're beautiful and wonderfully made. That's who you are. That's who defines you. Never let anyone tell you that you're too young. And I love what Paul says this. He says, be an example to all believers. So it's just like, all right, John, yeah, man, I'm awesome. I'm the best looking dude, you know? It's good to have some confidence and things like that. But you know what? Actually do something about it. Be an example to others. When you're in the playground, when you're at school, when you're at the grocery store, be an example. This is an example for every single one of us to show this older generation that you're young, that you're bold, that you're... Sorry, I lost it. There we go. As you would do unto others. Your faith, your purity, your love, in the way that you live. So let's talk about this a little bit. Paul and Timothy. Just to give you a little background information. Paul first met Timothy when he was in the region near his hometown of Lystra. Timothy was in his late teens, his early 20s at the time when Paul spread the good news and actually led Timothy to Christ. And so Paul comes into the region, he preaches maybe a message like this to the church, and then he finds this young man that most likely was just really into it, and maybe he saw him nodding his head in the temple, or he saw him nodding his head, and he's just like, that's the guy. And so they became really good friends, and it actually shows in 1 Timothy 1 verse 2, he actually calls him my true son in the faith. 1 Timothy 1 2 says, I am writing to Timothy, my true son in the faith. May God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord give you grace, mercy, and peace. And so over the years, Paul trained Timothy. Kind of got him up to speed. Encouraged him to just chase after God and chase after his teachings. Because Jesus died on the cross and there was this good news spreading all across. And churches were kind of getting divided a little bit. And then it became to the point where actually Paul trained Timothy so well that they went to the church of Ephesus. And then Paul's like, hey, peace out. I'm going to go and I'm going to leave you here to run the church. I'm going to leave you here to do something about it. And he's a little bit older at this time because it took a little time for Paul to kind of train him and get him up. But he was young when he started. He was young when he was encouraging him to chase after Jesus. And that's my point today, is that if we take and we encourage and take time, then these things will happen. And what ended up happening was Timothy stayed in the church of Ephesus, and where he fought heretics. He appointed qualified leaders. And he actually cleaned up a variety of different kind of messes because the church was kind of going all in different directions. And so Paul was writing these encouraging letters to him saying, just kind of get on track. I encourage you to read 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy. It's a beautiful story about Timothy doing some great things within the church. And those same great things can happen right here in the GTA, can happen right here in Harvest Family Church. And I think they are. I think we're brewing up something great. I think these past three Sundays, including next week, is just really showcasing who we are as a church, how we are oriented as a family, as a group, as a community. I've been hearing some great feedback about the connect groups that I've been having. Guys, we are in an amazing spot as a church, as a community, to make a massive difference in our world. We have the opportunity. But at the same time, we have the opportunity to go out into our world and do those things. We need to take time to encourage the next generation to what? Chase after Jesus. After studying and reading about all of these different things, one thing kind of kept coming to mind. And as I looked at Billy Graham, and as I looked at David, and as I looked at Josiah and all of these different people, I noticed really one simple thing. is that if you really looked at to the heart of it, and if you really looked at the heart of the story, it was about chasing after Jesus' love. It was about seeking out who God was and who He is. And if you really look at the stories, and if you open up the Bible and you let it start to read you, and you let it, the Word, actually affect who you are, you will notice simply this, is that these people, like you and I, can chase after Jesus, want more of Jesus. I thought it was so appropriate that we sang that new song this morning. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control, because we want more of You, God. These people, these young people, our young people, you and I, let's get more of Jesus. I'm fully experiencing this right now at 100% full steam because my little baby Levi, he wants more all the time. He wants more cuddles. He wants more food. He wants a diaper that he just changed like 5 minutes ago. He wants his mommy. He wants his daddy. He wants to be put up. He wants to be put down. He wants more. He wants to do something else. And you're trying to figure him out, and you're going through these motions, and you're a brand new parent, it's the first kid, and you're just like, what do you want? He wants more. He just wants more and more and more and more. And here's the thing. How about us? What do we want more of? Because we always want more. I want to call Mike. Are you in the church at the moment? I want to call you up right now. Do you mind hopping on keys right now? What do you want more of? Ask yourself that question. What do I want more of? Because as we look at ourselves and as we dig deep into our world and as we dig deep into our hearts, we live in a world that wants more. They want more of a home. They want more in their marriage. They want more friendships. They want more love. We live in a world of more. When we get into a house, it's just not good enough, maybe, and we just want a bigger one or a better one or in a different location. We want more in our jobs. We want more in the relationship and when we're dating. We want more as a student. This is something that I see all the time in young people. They always want more. It's just like, hey, here's a bunch of pizza. It gets eaten. They're like, we want more. We want more. But what do you want more of this morning? And imagine this. Imagine as a church and as a group of people, if we change that same passion that we want more of in our marriage, that we want more of in our job, that we want more of in our families and in our homes, and the more video game systems that we want, and the different things that we spend so much time wanting more of, what if we spend that time chasing after Jesus? What if we said to God, you know what, I want more of You and less of me. More of You, God, and less of me. That's what our next generation needs. It needs more of Jesus. It doesn't need more clothes. It doesn't need more TV shows. It doesn't need MTV doing an amazing job at telling and putting all this money into them, where the church has such a beautiful, better message, and has this life that is fully lived out. And His name is Jesus. And if we get Him to chase, if we get our young generation and ourselves chasing after Jesus, thinking about and imagine what our world would be like. Imagine what our city would look like. Imagine what our church would be. As if we just chased after Jesus. More of God and less of us. Everybody, just close your eyes right now for a second. Every person in this room. And I just want you to whisper this to yourself. Say, I want more of You and less of me. I want more of You and less of me. I want more of what You want for my life than what I think I need. And if that is our prayer today, we need to live it out. You can raise your heads up now. You can open your eyes. We have the calling as a church to do this. We have a calling as a group of people to not just stand around and just think, all right, the next generation will catch. The Compass Youth leaders, they're doing a great job and they'll just take care of it. Yes, we're doing a decent job. We're doing an all right time. We're having a good time. But I'm telling you this, and this is where I get my fuel from. I get my fuel from Jesus, but I also get fuel from the next generation. I get it from the older people that are showing me what to do, that have been a parent before, that have been a son or a daughter, or that have been a husband, or that have been a better friend. I'm looking to the next generation. And that's what our generation is looking to do as well. They're looking at you. They're looking at me. And it's our calling and it's our duty to show them that the things that the world teaches you to have more of isn't going to complete you. That what's going to complete you is that if you fill yourself up with Jesus, if you fill him up inside of you, you know what comes out? The source of hope, the source of love, the source of forgiveness, the source of grace, the source of mercy, the source of endurance, the source of patience, and ultimately the source of love. If you want to have a loving marriage, if you want more in your life, you need more of Jesus. You got to fill them up so that you can't even contain them. That you just have to explode into the world and be a better person. Because that's what Jesus called us to do. That's why he died on the cross. That's why he lived his life for us. That is the exact timing and the reason why that he walked on this earth in the flesh. So that we would chase after him. We would chase after his teachings. We would chase after his love. And we would show this next generation and encourage them to love you. Chasing after Jesus takes an example and a willingness from our own beings. Our world is far too broken. Our world is far too messed up for just sit around and say, all right, Sunday, that was a great thing that went on. It takes action. It takes example. It takes us as a church to show them, to show these kids life, kids in here, to show these youth what to do. It's our duty. It's our calling. And I'm telling you, it's going to make a difference in our world. It's going to make a big change. Be an example to chase after Jesus.
Thank you for listening. Please feel free to send in your prayer requests or stories about what God is doing in your life to info@harvestfamilychurch.ca.